8 days later, Brunn debarked at Kaskar Station in the same outfit she'd started in. Corey's ship had no shower, although it did have a functioning toilet, mostly functioning. She had had plenty of food, sandwiches, soup, tinned stew, and half as much sleep as she needed because she stood watch with Corey. She knew all about Corey's family, 3 generations backwards and out to 3rd cousins by marriage, and why his family would do anything for Lady Cecilia, including forget that she herself had ever existed and taken a ride on Corey's ship. She knew it would be an insult to tuck an extra 200 credits into one of the cabinets, but she promised to tell Cecilia who had helped her. Her first stop on Kaskar Station was a public restroom, where she paid for a hot shower and sudsed herself thoroughly. She dumped her clothes in a washer and called up the status board on the restroom screen. An outbound passenger ship headed for Greenland, which she knew from Corey's tutoring was more or less the way she wanted to go, would be in the next day. She called up its schedule. 12 days to Greenland, 6 more to Åkerland, 10 to Bascom. At Bascom, she could get direct service to Rockhouse Major, no stops, on a major carrier. That looked good, except that the ship from here got there 1 day late, and the next Rockhouse connection wasn't for 16 days. Damn. Here, she couldn't use Cecilia's influence. But, she looked at herself in the restroom mirror, maybe she could use her own. Or her wits. After all, even after these months, they might be looking for Lord Thornbuckle's daughter. She didn't want to lead them to Lady Cecilia. Not yet. Not until she'd had another competency hearing and regained her legal identity.
Wits, then.
The status board showed 5 ships at this much busier station. None were scheduled passenger ships, but Corey had explained that many freighters, scheduled and unscheduled, carried a few passengers. The big shipping firms had the better accommodations, but were pickier about who they took. The smaller firms, or owner-operator tramp freighters, would take anyone but an obvious criminal, especially if he or she were willing to do some of the less favored chores aboard. 10 hours later, Brunn was aboard the Bucklow Success, shoveling manure. Though most livestock was shipped as frozen embryos, some traveled whole in its mature state. Such a ship was known to crews as a shit shoveler for obvious reasons. The oversized environmental system had been built to handle the bulk and nitrogen load, but someone had to get the stuff from the animal pens into the system. A human and a shovel worked as efficiently as anything else, especially when valuable animals had to be coddled. Brunn's stable experience got her the job, and a free berth. A third of the cargo was horses, heavy drafters. Another third was hybrid cantaloupes, their long, straight horns cut short and tipped with bulky foam knobs for shipment. The rest were mixed medium and small. 8 pens of dairy goats, 7 of does and 1 of bucks, 16 pens of sheep, 58 cages of pedigreed rabbits, some of them carrying embryos of other species, 60 cages of small fowl, and 30 cages of large. Brunn had expected to be put to work with the horses, but as casual labor, she was assigned wherever there was need. She learned to mix feed for goats and sheep, hose down the cantaloupe pens, change waterers and feeders for rabbits and birds. For 16 days, she spent 12-hour shifts caring for noisy, demanding, smelly critters, and 8 hours of her shift off sound asleep in her surprisingly comfortable bunk. With all the methane production, there was plenty of onboard power generation, and the ship had to carry extra water anyway. Plenty of hot water for showers, an exercise room used mostly by bridge officers, everyone else got plenty of exercise caring for the animals, even a small swimming pool. And in 16 days, Brunn left the ship at Bascom Station. They would have taken her farther. She was hardworking and stayed out of quarrels, and she wasn't afraid of the larger animals, but they weren't going where she wanted to go. She got actual pay, less than her private allowance for the same period, but the first money she had ever earned in her life. She turned in the credit strip the ship's paymaster handed her at the first bank station she saw, and got back a cube representing her present balance in a newly opened Bascom Station account. It did not escape her notice that if she didn't have to spend more than that in her time here, she would not have to touch her own accounts, which might be under surveillance. Bascom Station looked like real civilization. Besides the bank station, which had both automated booths and a couple of windows with live tellers, the first concourse she came to had logos of all the standard travelers' organizations and credit services. She had her cubes, of course, but it would be a challenge, as well as prudent, to make it to Rock House without alerting any watchers. She wouldn't try to use a fake identity, but Brunhilde Charlotte Meager, without her usual wild clothes and credit cubes, might be anyone. She didn't think anyone would be looking for her in the hold of a livestock hauler, for instance. So she bypassed the expensive sectors of Bascom Station, the luxury hotel, the fine restaurants, and got a room at a hostel for transient crew, people who lived on such jobs as shoveling manure and running forklifts in warehouses. She ate at the little cafe two doors down and washed her clothes in a smelly little laundry where the washing machines overflowed at least once a shift. The transient crew hostel had its own version of the status board, with listings of crew openings and comments by those who had worked for different ships. Brun discovered she had a reputation which had preceded her. How, she couldn't figure out. Someone on the Bucklow Success had spread the word that she was a hard worker and trouble-free, so she had offers posted to her mail slot by the time she thought to check it. The rest of her reputation she didn't know about until later. She picked what seemed like the fastest way to Rockhouse Major, a bulk hauler carrying fish protein meal. Two shifts out of Bascom Station, she discovered that "nice kid" was not the label to carry among people who thought "nice" meant naive and helpless. And while she wasn't all that helpless, in proving it, she broke the wrist and nose of the permanent crewman who tried to rape her.